be seated. If you have a copy of God's word this morning, I invite you to turn with me back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to speak this morning on a great need of our hour as believers and as a church here and as God's people in general, as the body of Christ. We need to come back to the Lord. We need revival. And the only way we're going to have revival is if we understand perhaps what the apostle is speaking about here. Because the truth is, many churches have lost this, and I feel almost in my own heart I'm in danger of losing this myself if I'm not careful. But let's just pray, and then we'll look at this together this morning. Let's pray, and we'll ask God to speak to each of us. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not sure where you are with him, whether you believe in him or not, whether you're saved, whether your sins are forgiven. I hope today that he would make it clear and he'd save you if you're not saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for everyone gathered in this place, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank the Lord that it is a good thing for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commandeth the blessing and life evermore. And we pray this morning that there would be great unity given to us of our need as a church, our need for the Spirit of God, our need for the dependence upon God. Oh, we pray, come down and speak to us. May this word, as our brother prayed just a moment ago, may it be a challenge to us. Oh, that you would challenge us. We would be convicted. We would be changed by what is said this morning, not from man, but from thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to what the apostle says to this church. He's written two times now, and the last couple of weeks I just can't get out of this little book. And he says to them, do we begin again to commend ourselves? He says to these Christians who had gone away from him, as it were, who had fallen back into sin. And if you just have to read the first letter of Corinthians and you can read all the different troubles that we've spoken about the last couple of weeks that they went through. And he says, do we need to write you a letter? That's what some Christians do today when they move to a different locality or a different church. They would send a letter along, a letter of condemnation. Can never say that word properly. But they write that letter and he says, do we need to do that to you? Do you need proof that we are genuine or real? And he says, no, because you are our letter. You are our epistle in verse number 2, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. God can use our hearts to show to other men and women how much we care and long for you and for your spiritual walk. And he says in verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The reason we can boast or we can say that we don't need a letter, we can say that we don't need proof by other men, is because the very proof of our ministry, the Apostle Paul is saying, is your conversion, is your life being changed. And that's what this church needs, isn't it? It needs the proof that God is in it because lives are being changed. There are a lot of churches out there today that preach the right thing perhaps and speak the right thing, but there's no proof. There's no power on the word. And the apostle says, our proof is that you have been made this letter by the Spirit, look what it says, of the living God. I want to speak about that this morning. We need the Spirit of the living God in this place. If we have it, we are on the road to blessing. And look what it says. This is not written by tables of stone like the Old Testament he's referring to, but he's written this in the fleshly tables of the heart, in a soft heart. That heart of the Corinthians that Paul went to and preached, and it was converted and lives were changed and lives were delivered. The evidence there was by, look what it says, the Spirit of the living God. That's what we need in this church. And we thank God for the numbers, perhaps. We're not meant to count, are we? There was a warning given to David for counting Israel, in a sense. should number. I don't believe it's a good thing to rest on numbers. But we thank God for what he's doing amongst us. But that isn't really the proof, is it? The proof is lives changed, people being converted, people having that assurance that Jesus Christ is the Savior for them. And that's what Paul says. And I want to draw your attention this morning to verse number 5. He says in verse number 3, and we trust, have we through Christ to Godward, not, look what it says in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. He doesn't say that word there, sufficient means, could mean worthy. That's what it's used elsewhere in the original and other parts of the scriptures. Or it could mean enough. There's enough to meet the need. Well, he says in verse 5, we aren't sufficient through the own workings of our own self. There are a lot of people today that do their own thing in their own strength. Oh, they have church meetings, yes, and they have gospel meetings, yes, and they have outreach, yes, but is it done through the sufficiency of God? Look what it says. Look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to, look what it says, to think anything of ourselves. We don't think it ourselves and think, well, we've got the power. We've got this now. We've got children's work figured out, or we've got reaching people out figured out. No, that's not the heart of the Apostle Paul. So many churches today are just going through the motions and going through all what they've always done. And let me tell you, that is not going to do the job, is it, this morning? We need, draw your attention to those words in verse number 3. We need the Spirit of the living God in this place. That's what we need. And look what it says in our text, verse number 5. He comes to this place where he says, but our sufficiency, our worthiness, our calling, our power, our source is, what does it say? Is of God. And that's where we need to begin this morning. We must begin with God. We must begin with him and him alone to be the one that will work in this place. Is it not God that opened the doors in this chapel 2 years ago and opened it clearly? Was it not God that brought each one in this church this morning to this place? Oh, I believe it is with confidence that God has brought you here. He has led you here. And so we can say this morning, our sufficiency must be of God himself. Must be of God himself. The Apostle Paul speaks about this in other places. Turn with me quickly, if you are able to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Verse number 10. He says in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of the living God. I am nobody. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Apostle Paul said, my sufficiency is of God. I am laboring, I am working, I am moving forward, not through my own strength. Look what it says, but by the grace of God. I'm nothing. My talents, my abilities mean nothing to him. But I thank God this morning, my sufficiency is of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about a little bit more about this. He says, I have planted to this church, Apollos watered, but look what it says, God giveth the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. What is he saying? Our sufficiency, our power, our source, our strength is from God and God alone. And unless this church in this chapel gets that vision, we need God in this place. We will not succeed in seeing souls won for Christ in this town. There's no way. It must be our sufficiency is from him. Now, I want to notice that this morning, begin by saying, look what it says in verse number 5. Our sufficiency is of God. We've got to begin with God this morning. Can I tell you, many Christians today have no reality or understanding, it seems, of the presence of God and how holy he is. We are so flippant with God this morning, aren't we? We treat him as if he's our mate, or he's our friend, or he's some man up there in the sky. But that is not the God that we read of in the Bible. Is he not holy? Is he not a jealous God, as our brother prayed earlier? I was reading that this morning. Is not our God a jealous God? Is he not full of holiness? And is he not one that is full of light, and in him there is no darkness at all? Can I tell you, many churches today have lost the sufficiency of God is because they've forgotten who God is. They've forgotten who God is. Do we really believe in the God of the Bible this morning? Or are we just believing in our own God, our own idea of who God is? How holy he is. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 again, what does the apostle say? He speaks about the glory of Moses' day. And I want to speak about that a little bit this morning, because it talks about how Moses, when he came in the days of Moses, when Moses gave the law, it was a glorious thing. And it was so glorious that when Moses came down from the mount of where God had made himself known to him, when he came down from the mount and he came to the people, the Bible says he put a veil over his face because they couldn't look upon his face for the glory of God that shone there. That's the God that we speak of this morning. A glorious God. A God who is so holy. Can I remind you this morning of what it says in Genesis chapter 3 about our God and his presence? And I think this is the first time almost you think about the presence of God in relation to man. And in fact, we know you could really begin with the first few verses of Genesis chapter 1 about his presence and how holy it is. But remember in chapter 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned, the eyes of them were opened and they were ashamed. They knew they were naked. They were ashamed. And they hid themselves. And it says in verse number 8, when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, look what it says, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Oh, it's a fearful thing, isn't it? The presence of God. Do we really know his presence this morning? Oh, are we so flippant? No, I know. I'll get onto this in a moment. I know that we have access this morning through Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? We would be very foolish to end there. But I want to just stress this morning, I believe so burdened in my heart, that we've got to be a church that is full of the idea of who God is. Because if we knew who God was, we would believe he was sufficient, wouldn't we? Instead of trying to do things in our own strength. Isn't this what it says elsewhere? You remember, in Exodus chapter 2, and I'm sorry, I'm taking you all over the Bible. Well, I'm not really, but there you go. Exodus chapter 2. Remember what it happened with Moses. And Moses was escaped from Egypt. He left Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 2, look what it says. Moses, in verse 21, was content to dwell with the man, speaking of his father-in-law. I don't know anybody that's content to dwell with their father-in-law, but there you go. He was content. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Look at that. He was happy as life was going. He was happy as things were moving on and moving forward. He was happy in his place. But do you know what disturbed this man was when he realized his sufficiency had to be of God, when the presence of God came? Remember, that's what it says in chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Exodus, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priests of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And look what Moses says. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he drew, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And it says in verse 6 at the end of it, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is the God of the Bible we're speaking of this morning. Yet we treat him so flippantly in our meetings, don't we, sometimes? And we treat him as if he's someone we can run to when we have problems. But he's our God. He deserves all worship and glory and honor and praise. Remember, we could look on further, couldn't we, in the scriptures, and we could look at Exodus chapter 19. You remember when they went up to the mountain, Moses went up to the mountain in Exodus chapter 19. It says in verse 3, and Moses went up to God and called, and the Lord called him up out of the mountain. And remember, when the Lord would come down on the third day in this chapter, you remember he came down amongst the camp. The Bible says when he came down with thunderings in verse 16 and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. It was a fearful thing. And in fact, earlier on in the chapter, it was told that the people would set themselves bounds or borders around the place. Nobody would be able to touch the border of the mountain, because if they did, they would die. We have a holy God this morning, and we've got to understand that if we're to succeed in the mission that God has given us. He is full of holiness. Have we left his holiness? Have we forgotten his holiness this morning? Verse 24, it tells us, Moses said, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up upon the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. This is the God that we have this morning, one who is full of holiness. Exodus chapter 24, it talks about how the cloud of the glory of the Lord was like a cloud that covered the mountain, covered the place. Couldn't look upon it. They were frightened to look upon it. He was so glorious. And yet, my friend, we think we can do God's work in our own way. No, he is holy, and his work belongs to him. If the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, surely his work belongs to him too. And yet, my friend, do we really treat God in the way we ought to treat him? Do we really have the reverence and respect that we do? That's why in this chapel we sing old hymns. Not because we don't believe people can't write hymns today. That's not the truth. But there's a reverence about what we sing. There's a lot of Christian so-called music today, isn't there? It's all about man rather than about God. All about how I feel rather than giving the glory to God. What about the wonderful hymns that we sing? Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Think about that this morning. We have a King in heaven who we can praise, we can honor, we can worship. At his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like he his praise should bring? Is there anyone else we can praise? That's the God of the Bible that we have. And if we are going to succeed in this place, we've got to get to the place, as Paul said, our sufficiency is of God. Now, if it's of God, my friend, this morning, oh, surely, my friend, this morning, we will succeed, won't we? Because isn't our God all-powerful and mighty and full of holiness? Oh, we could go on this morning. We could speak of Exodus chapter 34, and perhaps we'll get there in just a moment. But I want to draw your attention to, if it was so glorious that they couldn't look upon Moses when he came down from the mountain with the word of the law, which in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about it being the ministration of death. That's what the Old Testament law was. The law was written, wasn't it? It was recorded when God gave his law, and there was no grace in the law. There was no mercy in the law. The law said one thing, and that was it. And the law was glorious, even though it was the law of death. Isn't that what it says in James chapter 1? Lust bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. There's no mercy in the law. The law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And yet, my friend, this morning, if when Moses came down from the mountain, he was full of the glory of God, that men couldn't look upon him because he had to put a veil on his face, how much more then should the gospel of our day be glorious? Isn't that what it's saying here? And yet we're so weak today. There's no power in the gospel, it seems, today. There's no power in the gospel preaching. Do you know what? In the New Testament, when people preached the gospel, people were saved. There wasn't any question when they got out in the book of Acts to go out and preach the gospel. When they went from from city to village or wherever they went. They went with the intent, knowing people were going to be saved. And yet today, in the day we live, we have no expectation that people will be saved. Because I tell you why we don't have any expectation is because nobody comes to a prayer meeting. Because we don't believe that God is able to save any longer. And so our sufficiency isn't of God any longer, it's of us. We don't pray as we should. We don't weep. Isn't that what it says in the scriptures? He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. If we knew what we needed, oh, we would have it, wouldn't we? We would pray and seek the Lord for it. And this is what Moses was saying, or Paul was saying in the scripture. Moses had the glory of the Lord upon him. And in Exodus chapter 34, we read that they couldn't look upon him. And he had the veil on his face when he came down from the mountain to speak to the children of Israel. And when he went back up to the presence of the Lord, he took the veil off his face. He could see the Lord face to face. And he came with a glorious word from the Lord. And yet today, there's no glory, it seems, in churches today. But look what it says in our text. If it was glorious when Moses came from the mountain with the law of death, how much rather, so it said in verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? If God was able back then, when he gave the law, and it was a shocking thing, a glorious thing, but it condemned men to die, didn't it? It found men out guilty. And that's what the law does today. It tells you that you are in need of a savior because you are condemned. The law convicts you and pulls you down and tells you you're a sinner and you need to be saved. You need to be delivered. And if the law does that and it was glorious that they couldn't look upon it, oh, how much then shall the Spirit be glorious? Isn't it wonderful when the Spirit of God comes into a person and changes their life? Can I tell you what we're lacking today is we're lacking Spirit-filled Christians. Christians that have the Spirit of God upon them. So many Christians today are living in the flesh, relying on self, relying on the old man. Boy, you can tell that by the way they speak to each other, the way they act, the way in times of lockdown and all this rest of these other things that are going on in the world today, when people, rather than running to God, they run to the supermarket to stock up. That's not the Spirit of God, is it, in this place? But if the Spirit of God is upon us, look what it says. It's glorious. It's glorious. And look what it says in verse 6. If we are then ministers of this New Testament, we are our ministers of not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We are people this morning, a church, that can give men and women life from him. Because our sufficiency is of God. Oh, my friend, this morning I plead with you. If we are to succeed in this church, we've got to be people that say our sufficiency is of him. If we're not, we're wasting our time, aren't we? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the verse number 9, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Doesn't it say the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith? We have a glorious gospel. We have a glorious message. And yet, we've moved away from it because our sufficiency is no longer of God, but it's of organizations and whatever else people say today. We need God again in this land. And if we are to see God come again, we've got to get to that place where our reliance has got to be on the Holy Spirit, hasn't it? Isn't that what it says in the Psalms? Turn us again, O God, and we shall be saved. O God, would he not come again in this chapel? Would he not pour his Spirit out like he did in the days of revival? When men and women got right with God and then got right with each other? Isn't that what it says in Galatians chapter 6, confess your faults one to another. Oh, we need the Spirit of God. And he gives life. We're not here bringing a message of condemnation today. We're bringing a message which is glorious, that gives life. Look what it says in chapter 4. We believe the Spirit is the Lord. That's what it says in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. He's the one that is the one that's working. And that's who we need. But look at the glorious message we have today. In verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Can I tell you what the devil don't want today? He doesn't want God's Spirit shining into your soul and telling you you need Jesus Christ. He doesn't want God's Spirit reproving you and correcting you. He doesn't want that. But let me tell you, when the Spirit comes, when we have the Spirit of the living God, when our sufficiency is of God, we will be willing to be open and say, Lord, do whatever it is with me that you need me to hear. Oh, we need the Spirit today. We can talk on and on and on, but we don't have time. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the Spirit of Jesus Christ and who, Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 1. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1 about the Lord Jesus, who is the brightness in verse 3 of his glory. And he is the expressed image of his person. What a glorious Spirit we have, Jesus. What does it say? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Oh, that me would get to the place where we just rely on the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8 talks about how we can rely on this Spirit, rely on Jesus Christ. He's speaking in regards to the Gentiles. And in Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about that the Gentiles in verse 6 should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 8, unto me who I am less than the least of all saints in this grace, given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which is from the beginning of the world, have been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent and now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and the manifold wisdom of God. The church has a glorious liberty, access to God, freedom to worship him, freedom and liberty to come to his presence with singing. And yet we've missed it because our sufficiency has come off God and on ourselves. Look what it says in verse 11, or verse 12 rather. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. This, in the Old Testament, it was dark clouds to see the presence of God. A light by day, pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud of day, and a pillar of fire by night. And yet, we have something so more wonderful, Jesus Christ himself, shining in our hearts. And look what it says. We can then have this hope. We use great plainness or boldness of speech. The Christian who is sufficient of God, there's no gray area. There are a lot of Christians today that claim to be Christians, but they doubt God, don't they? No gray area here. Do we have this sufficiency? Look what else it says in verse 14. Speaking of these people, Israel, their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. They couldn't see Christ. Which veil is taken away in Christ. It's done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, when the law is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't see. Maybe you're in this meeting this morning and you don't see your own needs, your own condition. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that veil shall be taken away. Praise God, if you're a Christian this morning, your sufficiency is of God because he's taken the veil away. It's been removed. You can see. And look what it says. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is. Look what it says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. If you're a Christian, the Spirit of the Lord should be living in you. That's what it says. If any man be of Christ, he have the Spirit. If he doesn't have the Spirit, he's not of Christ. And if the Spirit of the Lord is there, look what it says. There is liberty. Oh, Remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, speaking about the mountain of God. Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us at the end of the passage that we don't come, in verse number 18, we don't come unto a mountain that might be touched and that is burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. We don't come to the law and it condemn us and throw us out. As we read in Exodus, how the Lord, if the people broke through, the Lord would break through and destroy them. We don't come that way anymore. We have sufficiency of God, don't we? We can come to Christ. And look what it says. It says, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the words, which the voice they heard entreated, that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. And if, as it says in verse 20, if so much as a beast of the mountain shall touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible that was sight that Moses said, I exceed fear and quake. But verse 22, ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. We have a sufficiency of God this morning. Why? Because we've come to this new mountain, Mount Zion, to a general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, to the God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus. That's the reason why we have sufficiency. The mediator, the one that stands in the gap between us and him. What was it says? The mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of spring. Isn't it wonderful? We come to this sufficient one of God because the blood has been shed. The blood has been given. And it says, that speaketh better things than of Abel. See that ye refuse him not. Jesus is our way. And if we have got the Lord Jesus this morning, look what it says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We know we don't have anything in ourselves, but we have it all in him. We are sufficient. Do you have that sufficiency? And not only that, but look what it says in verse number 18. This is where I want to end this morning. Because if our sufficiency is of God, and that's what this church needs, and if God's word is glorious, and God's power is glorious, and the gospel is glorious, and it should be, and if God's people are no longer meant to have that spirit of fear and the spirit of the law, but they've got the life of the Spirit, and if the Lord is there living within them and there's liberty, look what it says. But we all with open face. There's no veil any longer on us, is there? Oh, yes, we don't see the person of Jesus Christ yet, but we will do one day, won't we? But we can see the presence of his glory, as it were, in our hearts. Look what it says. But we, with open face, beholding as in the glass, look what it says, the glory of the Lord. This church needs the glory of the Lord, doesn't it? Needs to be clearly seen. Notice with me, we all, it wasn't limited. All believers that have the Spirit can see open with the open glass the Lord Jesus, his presence, his Spirit in them. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian here this morning, you know what it is. If you're a true converted Christian, you know what it is to have the Spirit of God living within you. You know the joy that he brings. You know the peace that he brings. You know the wonderful blessing of salvation that he is. You know how Jesus spoke about how he would remind you of things that he said. You know what that is this morning. When you've been down in the valley and God has come by his Spirit and given you that word that's lifted you up. And if we have the Spirit of God, look what it says. We behold in a glass the glory of the Lord. One day we'll see it face to face. It wouldn't be a glass any longer. Now this is, I believe it's like a mirror. It's a reflective glass because look what it says. And are changed. Isn't it wonderful? Our sufficiency is of God because we're changed. Look what it says. Into the same image. Can I tell you, I'm not interested in being like another man from history. Some people say, well, we need some more Evan Roberts today. I don't want to be Evan Roberts. I could never be Evan Roberts. But I don't want to be Evan Roberts. We need more John Wesleys. I don't want to be John Wesley. Or whoever else, famous Christians. You put the name there. Men or women of God that have served the Lord. I don't want to be them. Do you know what I want to be? You know what you ought to be? The same image. Him. We need to be him. The problem today is too many Christians aren't him. They're still in the flesh. We need to be him. Are you like him this morning? Is there too much of self in you? Too much of self in me? I thank God just recently, I believe the Lord has re-stirred my heart. I came back recently from somewhere, it was late in the night, and I just couldn't help but pray. Isn't that wonderful when that happens? A lightness came over my soul. I can't explain it to you, but the Lord came in a real living way, and I could bring all my burdens and cares to Him. And it was a wonderful time, because we're changed from glory unto glory. And yet there are too many dead Christians today who are still full of their own selves, full of criticism, full of complaining, full of the old man. Let me tell you, when you let God get hold of your soul and He changes you from glory to glory, all of that will be gone. Too much fighting and backbiting amongst ourselves is a bad thing, because we haven't let the sufficiency be of God, have we? We'd rather let it be of ourselves. Well, I want to do it my way. That's the problem today with many churches, is there's too many, whatever the man was called that sang that song, there's too many of them around. I want to do it my way. But let me tell you, when you get to God and you say, it's all of Him. Look what He does. He changes you from glory to glory. Isn't that wonderful? As if we haven't been changed enough already, He'll do it again and again and again. More and more like Him. And it's by Him, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He does it. He does it. So I want to encourage you today. We've got to be people who say our sufficiency is of Him. If we do, we will succeed. We will be on the right track. But if we do not, oh, how sad it will be. Oh, it may last for a little time, but it will all fade away, won't it? But what God have wrought, no man can destroy. Isn't that wonderful? I want to be changed from glory into glory. Don't you? I know there's too much of me in me. Still too much of me in me. There's still too much of Tristan White living in this flesh. And it will be that day until I get to glory. I understand that. It'll be that way for some of us here till we get to glory. But I do want to be one this morning that is more like Him than myself. Because that's the true Christianity that we preach. Converts. Isn't that what they call it the old days? Conversions. Yes, being saved. Praise God. I love that term. But convert, being changed. I ain't talking about decisions today. Thank God we should make decisions for the Lord in a sense. Every day we die, should die. That's a decision, isn't it? Yielding. But I'd rather be changed from glory into glory. More like Him. If you're in this meeting this morning and you're a believer and you know God has dealt with you, oh, would you not stay a while this morning and pray and seek the Lord? Sometimes it's good to stop, isn't it? Sometimes there's blessing in just waiting on the Lord. Is there too much of you left? Too much of me left? I think there is in all of us. But thank God we can behold that glass, can't we, this morning? You know, the truth is, many of us take care of the necessary thing every day. Our appearance. I can tell that. Look around me this morning. I think everybody's taking care of their appearance. Even some of these young people. A little bit of help probably from their parents. They're taking care of their appearance. And I'm not the best person at doing that sometimes. I need a wife and working on that. But I tell you something this morning. The greatest appearance that needs to be taken care of is the spiritual one, isn't it? And that happens when we look into the glory of glories, the mirror, the glass of the Lord. If we look into Him, we can't help but change, can we? All those things will flee away. May God help us this morning. Our sufficiency, our worthiness for the ministry has to be of Him. Must be. By the Spirit of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we feel that Thou art dealing with me. I feel that Thou art dealing with me. My heart, Lord, has been touched by Thy word this morning, even just reading these verses. Oh, Lord, how still there's too much of myself living and not enough of Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess we have sinned. We confess that we are too much about ourselves and what we want and not enough about what Thee wants, what Thy word wants us to do. Oh, our God, we pray, touch our hearts with thy Spirit. Lighten every load this morning. Change us, Lord, from glory to glory. Make us more to be like thee. We thank that there's going to be a day where we shall be where we should be, and we shall be what we should be. We pray that you do this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together our final hymn. 782. Is that right? 782.